The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. If you're a dinosaur and still listen to the radio, better late than never, right? This is Kevin Stanfield and the remote Claude Jennings, who has such a story to tell you. Tell me about it, Claude.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So, Kevin, it's great to be back on the show. And, you know, every now and again, usually once a year, this year, twice this year, I'm on the phone doing the show, and it's because I'm traveling. And I wish that there was something super exciting, like kind of related to the NFL. Like I'm in New York at the NFL headquarters trying to get the skinny on Ezekiel Elliott and Roger Goodell and suspension and all the legal proceedings with that. But I'm not. My son's birthday was October 30th yesterday. He turned 5, and so we took him on a Disney cruise. And so we were on the high seas, sailing around with Mickey Mouse and Minnie and Goofy and all those guys, Donald Duck. And it was quite an experience, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. Well, while you were out in the high seas, I was here looking at a bunch of cartoon characters playing football, right? Since this is the Federal Football Report, we ought to start out with the football aspect of what's happening, right? The burgundy and gold fell to the Dallas Cowboys in a deluge, in a rainstorm. We're going to hit on that part of it a little bit later. But they fell to, what's the record, Claude, now? 3-5? Is that
3-4 is the record.
3-4?
Both teams going into the match was 3-3. Whoever
That's right.
Wins go 4-3, loser 3-4.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, I had pretty much said this was going to be my Super Bowl after the fiasco against the Eagles. I pretty much said this was it. They didn't, you know, I noticed they didn't call a code red. They got these cute sayings, you know, all hands on deck, and I think it's now they're wearing shirts to say whatever it takes or whatever, right? Or I think the shirts this week ought to say, hey, that's about it. Because it was an ugly game. It was beset by penalties. The Cowboys, who were at that time coming into the game the least penalized team in the league, seemed like they had a holding call on every single three-down series. It was unimaginable. But as we promote here on the Federal Football Report, the Cowboys did what a football team should do in conditions like that, run the football.
Absolutely. You know, it's very interesting, Kevin, when I think about it. You know, it was very fitting for the game to be, the weekend before Halloween, because that's exactly what it was like. It was like a weird kind of situation. I mean, you take it from the beginning of the game. First of all, even before the beginning of the game, you know, both teams, again, like we said, 3-3, the winner needing to kind of try to keep pace with the Eagles for the NFC East, or at least survive for a wild card position. And it's wild because, six games in, we are talking about wild card position, and we are talking about playoffs, and you'd like to see some type of urgency with that, right? And so I didn't really know this, but if you listen to some of the Cowboys stuff over the, you know, on their app and local radio in Dallas, you know, they saw this as a must win themselves. You know, they got off to what I guess they would consider a slow start, and then you get San Francisco, and then you've got the Redskins. If you can win two straight, you're kind of back on track. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Going into the game, again, kind of wet, kind of soggy, drizzle at the beginning, Zeke fumbles the ball, and you're like, whoa, you know, that's just the kind of jump start you need right there, right? First play in the first quarter, Zeke fumbles the ball, you get the ball right there in their territory. You got to score a touchdown.
You have
there.
To. I mean, you have to.
Your foot on their throat.
Killer instinct. And of course, we don't mean kill. You know what we mean when we say that, right? Let's not get crazy on Twitter. But you got to have some sense of urgency there. You have to. You have to establish dominance, and you can't be cute about doing it. Now, okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room, the injuries on the offensive line. They tell me Kirk Cousins just met some of his offensive linemen that day, right? You know, hello, Kirk. Yeah, key injuries to Trent Williams and to Sheriff and to Spencer Long.
And even though Morgan Moses was playing, I mean, he was also hurt last week. I mean, you know, so he's not at 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Hey, it's part of the game, right? Nobody is sending these guys in to get well cards, right? It's the NFL. If your organization is good enough, you have not only those guys penciled in, you have their backups penciled in, you have the practice guys, practice squad guys penciled in, and you have guys on other teams' practice squad penciled in.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, to me, they're crying injuries. I mean, of course, they're hurt. Everybody's hurt at the time of year. They caught a bad break because they had their bye week so early, in my opinion. But you know, let's not start making excuses. It seems like they're looking for an out already in the season. And like you said, they're only 3-4. Right.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the thing to add to it is that, you know, when you have these, there's two things. When you have these many injuries, right, and you know, you're playing a team, for the most part, I think if you do player by player at the skill positions, you probably would assume that that on paper from the skill position, they're better than the Redskins. I understand the Redskins show we hate the Cowboys. I get it. But when you go skill position by skill position, receiver for receiver, you know, maybe except for a tight end, you know, with Witten being a little older, but running back, you know, you feel as though that's the skill position, you know, they have the advantage, right, on offense. So you take a look at that. You got injuries. You're behind as far as the skill positions. That this weather is perfect because it slows everything down. You have to play sloppy. You've got a lot of backups on the offensive line. This is the exact perfect game. And you made a great point about the excuses. Let's not make excuses because you're up early in this game. The offensive line didn't seem to be a problem the first couple of drives, like in the first quarter. I mean, you've got to execute. You've got to score touchdowns. You can't keep scoring field goals. You can't be up, you know, 13-7 when you had opportunities to really be up, whether it's 17-7 or 21-7. I love the way they responded after Zeke scored the touchdown. But you've got to, again, you've got to put the ball in the end zone.
Now, I wanted to go back to this. I mentioned the weather a little bit earlier. It was a deluge at times. It was like, you know, pouring rain. Let me tell you, I love football in the rain. We've gotten into society so used to playing football indoors and indoor stadiums on carpet that we think that rain is an inconvenience. The rain, the rain and the snow, the elements, I love that. That's the kind of football I grew up playing. You know what? Mm-hmm. To me, well, I'll qualify this. To me, a wet football was always easier to catch because of the friction of the ball against your hands. This is prior to gloves and all that. But then someone put to my attention that back in my day, the pigskin was really pig. You know, so yeah, there was a big difference. But remember how Joe Gibbs used to refer to it as redskin weather, right? You know, he had this psychological thing going where the elements were no excuse, and he would turn around and use it to his team's advantage, right?
Exactly.
Saying, yeah, this is what we want. The other guys are going to be uncomfortable, but this is what we want. But these guys have been playing in that bubble for so long. They've been practicing in the bubble. See, that's what the part of the problem is. The elements actually bothered those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, you look at it and say, oh, well, the rain, you know, there were two teams playing in the rain. You
absolutely,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's up to you to make it work to your advantage. You can't have these strip sack fumbles. You can't be fumbling on kickoff returns, you know, and giving the ball back to the Cowboys. You have to understand, and I know that these are professional players and we're just people watching the game, but you have to understand that, yes, the elements are going to play a factor. So you have to be somewhat mindful of that. I mean, if you pay attention to the Cowboys kickoff, kick returner and punt returner, the rookie that they got from North Carolina, who name escapes me, you know, he wasn't fielding many punts or kickoffs. Like, he was kind of letting that bounce. Even when one was kicked, like, close to the 30, he could have downed it there. He let it go to the 10, probably because he didn't want to drop it or let it slip behind his hands. Now, you know, you can get a lot of beef for that, but I think they would rather have the ball at the 10 than giving it up to the Redskins at the 30. So there's just, like you said, a different style of football that you have to play. You talked about being able to run the ball. I mean, I'm looking at the statistics, and, you know, we don't just, you know, stat chat around here, not Snapchat, but stat
yeah,
chat
that either,
around
right?
here.
Yeah.
But you've got Zeke running the ball 33 times. 33 times he ran the ball. And between Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson, the Redskins run the ball 12 times. Yeah. And the game was not out of hand by any stretch of the imagination, except, you know, in the fourth quarter, sure, you can look at the pick, but there was a point in time where it was 26-13. But before that touchdown by the Cowboys, it wasn't out of hand. It wasn't like it was a situation where you could not run the ball. And it wasn't like it was a situation where earlier in the game, the Redskins were not running the ball. They had success running the ball. And so you're trying to figure out why in the world aren't they running the ball when it's a monsoon outside?
Yeah, well, you have to look at games in the past. When we started the season with high hopes, with them sticking with the run and just being slow and deliberate, right, and consistent about it. But we got to that Philly game, and we had those couple of third and ones when they decided it was a shotgun situation, and the confidence I saw, the confidence that was building in the offensive line, the ability to manhandle their opponent and dictate what was happening, that pretty much, you eliminate, you would take the confidence away from the guys because you're saying to those guys, I don't think you can do it. Now, I'm sure if you took a poll before the snap, all the offensive linemen would say, run the ball. And that's what you want. You want them to say, I want to get this guy in front of me. But you don't have that now. Well, before the injuries, you had an offensive line that was borderline confidence-wise in the terms of dominating their opponent. Now, with a bunch of the freshman class, or whatever you want to call them, in there, who actually did not play that badly, right?
Right.
They did not play that badly if they were given the chance, because it was raining on both sides of the ball, like you say. But you have to establish something. 12 runs is not establishing anything. Only thing 12 runs is establishing is, I don't think I can run.
No, absolutely right. I mean, you look at the game. I mean, what, at halftime, it's 14-3, and so it's not out of hand. Cowboys scored 9 points in the third quarter. The game is still not out of hand, you know. But again, you may give yourself some cushion if you're not kicking field goals after that first, you know, drive the Cowboys had with Zeke fumbles on the first play. If you're scoring touchdowns, you've got to give yourself every single advantage, and especially when you're shorthanded. And it seems kind of like Redskin victories earlier this year. You had talked to some games earlier this year. When I look at the Rams game or the 49ers game, where you kind of get out of head, and then you don't put a team away, and then they're hanging around towards the end. But luckily for the Redskins, it was the 49ers and the Rams. Although the Rams have gotten hot, but at that time, who couldn't find a way to win a game if you gave them an envelope and said, hey, here's the way to win the game? And so I think it was just the luck of the draw that they made one or two more plays than the opponent and was able to win those games. This was a game that, despite being injured and despite the weather, it was winnable. And you know, again, if you're going to be this shorthanded, especially on the offensive line, this is the game you wanted. 12 rushes. I mean, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not over-exaggerating this thing. And I was looking back at the first half. There was a lot of success running the ball. And I'm just trying to figure out, why in the world would you stop?
Well, correction, the score at half was 14-13. And I know you're out on the high seas, right? So, yeah, that's no big. I understand that,
I'm
right?
I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said 14-3.
No,
just proving your point. The game was a football game. It was a football game with the depleted offense, and we haven't even talked about the depleted defense yet. But with the depleted offense and a team that's on the rise with arguably one of the best offensive players in the game on the other side, there was only a 1-point game, right? We were still in the game, but we don't act like we're in it. I don't know if we're lost. I don't know. But it's an old feeling here. I mean, this is the same team we've seen around for 3 years. And, you know, we speak truth here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com, at FF Rep. We speak truth here. We haven't seen any improvement. We've seen a change. The improvement we saw was with the GM they had who's goal and whose buzzword was football players. We need to bring in football players. We saw a slow, gradual improvement here because they didn't bring in a lot of superstars, but role players, guys got experience who had the ability to step in. That's why I don't think the defense is hurting as bad as the offense right now. But what did they do with that guy? They got rid of him for some reason, right? You know, I can't explain it. But yeah, but it was a game that it was a lot of the same old, same old. And, you know, you can blame the elements, you can blame the injuries, or we can try to find some solutions here. And that's what we're looking for on this side, solutions.
Yeah, no, we're all about solutions. Hopefully we can try to discuss them on this show, and we can send this show, or at least send the link to the podcast of the show, to the coaching staff of the Redskins, you know, and try to talk some sense into these guys. You got to run the ball. I mean, you know, you look at the elements in that game, you would expect more than just 12 rushes, but I don't want to beat a dead horse with that. I mean, another thing is, you know, special teams. You know, you got to be better on special. You can't have, I think it was 2 turnovers on special teams, right? I mean, you've got the blocked field goal that was a turn down to the 2. And then you had the Chris Thompson fumble. You know, you can't have 2 special teams mistakes that give the other team the ball basically in the red zone. And that's not good. That's
right. Also, good. Also in your 6th game of the season, you shouldn't be experimenting on who's to do what, right? You know, and it's interesting with the new rules and the kickoffs being moved up and 95% of the balls being kicked out of the end zone. With the elements, the balls were short, and guys actually had to, you know, return the kick. And I don't think they were ready. They were used to that. They said, "Oh my God!" What? And you know, jumping to the end of the game when number 14 for the Cowboys, there was a kickoff, and they were preparing for the onside kick, and the guy kicked it deep, and number 14 for the Cowboys run, and all of a sudden he took a knee, right? You know,
right,
they're just not used to doing it, man. People keep messing with the game, right? Messing with the rules of the game, but I digress. Now, also let's get to the defense for a minute, because we've talked about the depleted offensive line. We're going to get back to the lack of production of the wide receivers in a minute, and that's so much to talk about. But you had a lot of key injuries. Matt Ioannidis, who was having a quietly Pro Bowl type year.
Yeah, really good year.
Yeah, from the interior line position, right? He had to sit out with a broken hand. There was one clip, one shot on TV of the Skins sideline where you see all these big guys in burgundy parkas standing on the sideline. Right, we said, man, they blocked out like part of the stadium lighting was so big, right? But Matt Ioannidis was out. Mason Foster, an interesting story there. Out of nowhere, Mason Foster was placed on the injured reserve list, and apparently, he didn't think that he was that seriously injured, because he took to Twitter and started blasting the team. He even went so far as made some comments like this, you know, this is unacceptable, and said, like, if the past GM, God, why is his name escaping me right now?
McLuhan.
If Scott McLuhan was here, it wouldn't be handled like this, right? And so he said, you know, he just blasted the team. I mean, like, repeated tweets, right? Because apparently the situation was, well, Mason, we think you two hurt the play. And he said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are, right? And what, for whatever reason, right? And so apparently there was a face-to-face meeting, which was one of the things he was complaining about, that they didn't talk to him face-to-face, right, about this whole situation. And after this meeting, he came out of the meeting saying, okay, we're cool. Like, I don't know what, you know, if it was a payoff or whatever, right? But the type of thing you see on the losing team. Breshad Breeland was sidelined before the game with knee injuries out of nowhere. You didn't know that was happening.
Who played great last week.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. But Quentin Dunbar had a pretty decent game. Josh Norman did return, and he and Dez pretty much neutralized each other. But they kept throwing at him, right? It just didn't work out. I still love those commercials, by the way. It's just
they're great.
They got an idea from us, but I just love those commercials. But yeah, there was depletion on both sides of the ball. But it's got to be, you know, we gotta go next man up. We just can't say that we're gonna write the season off and give the coach another year because we was all hurt this year. No, you gotta coach what you got. Show me you can coach. Is anybody else? I remember a year ago in the preseason where a team in the NFC East lost their quarterback, then lost their backup quarterback, and had to end up playing what was a 4th round, the 2nd pick in the 4th round, rookie. Mm-hmm. They were forced to play him, you know. So injuries, I don't want to hear the injuries excuse no more, man. We just gotta man up and do something with what we got.
Absolutely, man up and do something. I think in the next segment we'll man up and we'll do some stuff with fake news or not. I guess in the 3rd segment maybe we'll talk a little bit about this Disney cruise. Who knows? We'll see.
Oh, we're going to talk a lot about that. That's right. We know it because, you know, our fans want to know, right? We want to give you, like, the personal side of the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. You can hit us up at FF Rep on Twitter, and you can just let us know what's happening, right? We want to communicate with you. We're not going to do it this show because Claude's still out on a special assignment. You know, the trade deadline was today. He personally went to San Francisco to see what this Garoppolo's trade was all about and to see about Jay Ajayi going to the Philadelphia Eagles. He had to go the long way around. You know, most people go cross country. They go from San Francisco overland, but Claude took the long way. He took the Magellan route.
Precisely. Exactly right.
Yeah, so, another segment that has been going very well on this show, something that Claude thought up, and I'm quite happy with because people seem to think it's great. I love it. You know, if you all don't like it or not, I still love it. So I think, but since it's Claude's baby, we'll let Claude announce it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So everybody, it's the segment that's really taken America and the world by storm. It's fake news or not.
It's fake news or not.
And that's one reason I love doing it so much, just so we can play
the introduction elements that go
along with
it. All
right, what's your first question?
Okay, so we've got three questions. You guys know the drill. Three questions that I asked Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. So, Kevin, you had made mention of this a few minutes ago. Jimmy Garoppolo, or whatever you just called him, Jimmy Garoppolo, traded to the 49ers. Does this mean Kirk Cousins is destined to stay in D.C.?
That's news. That's definite news because the fake news has been what the media has been saying all this time. Now, see, we tell you all the time that these guys just present things as news because they don't really have access to the team. And because they present it as news, we have to accept it as fact. But if Kyle Shanahan had wanted Kirk Cousins, why wait until now? Why wait until now? And you know what really happens is it explains why Brian Hoyer was removed from that game so early when the Burgundy and Gold was playing the 49ers. It wasn't that they thought he was playing poorly. They had to protect him. They made a deal. They made a deal with the Patriots and said, okay, don't get this boy banged up because eventually he's going to be our backup quarterback. It all fell into place for me, right? But yeah, don't believe all this hype about how Shanahan really wanted Kyle or how the Golden Boy McVay for the Rams really Shanahan really wanted Kirk, or the Golden Boy McVay really, really wanted Kirk. If they wanted him, they would have had him. And right now, both of them seem like they're pretty happy. So the only one who's questioning what's going on is poor Captain Kirk, because he might just have to suck it up, bite the bullet, and take $35 million next year.
Poor Kurt, he's going to have to take $35 million.
Yeah, poor guy.
But I will say this. I mean, I think it makes it interesting because Garoppolo is going to be a free agent after this year. So and he's got a few more games, I guess, to figure some things out with the 49ers. I'm not sure when their bye week is, whether it's happened already or not. But if it hasn't happened already, he'll have an extra week to kind of catch up on some things. Let's be honest. I mean, he can't be any worse than Bethard, right? Not knowing the offense. I don't know whether it means that Cousins is destined to stay here in D.C. because who knows, there's plenty of teams across the league who could use a quarterback. I mean, you look at, Chicago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they only threw 12 passes. I mean, they're the opposite of the Redskins. We were like 12 rushes. You can't win with 12 rushes. I was like, 12 passes? Or was it 7 passes? It was something ridiculous like that, where Trubisky was like 4-8 or 4-7. And so there are plenty of teams who need quarterbacks. Now, Kurt may not go to San Francisco or to the Rams, but he may not be here. But you have a point where, folks may have to stop believing the fake news out there that either one of these teams actually wanted him that bad, because they wanted him that bad, they would have got him. But let's also not play to the fact that Kurt may want out of D.C. Like, if it were me, because I would be upset and really frustrated and kind of petty, I would leave. But he may not be that kind of person. He doesn't seem to be that kind of person. He signed the franchise tag twice. He seems very content. He bet on himself twice, saying, hey, I'm not going to sign a deal that I don't like. I'll go out here and play, and whatever you give me is what the next contract will be. He may be fine staying here in D.C. Who knows? And so I think, like you said, that it's news. It does not mean that Kurt is destined to leave. He could stay. I don't think it means he's destined to stay. Who knows? We'll just have to see about that.
Hey, when you bet on yourself, though, and you lose and you get $35 million, what kind of game is that? I'm not totally opposed to gambling, especially if the odds are like that, man. The loser gets $35 million. Let's look at it realistically. As a businessman, Kurt is either in the game to get paid, or he's in the game to win championships. Now, if Kirk leaves, where is he going to go? Who is out there that says we're a Kirk Cousins away from going on? Maybe the Broncos, because they won the Super Bowl
with
half of a Peyton Manning, right? You know, so maybe
I would argue 25% of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but that window is closing too because teams are figuring these guys out. Who else? Really? The Giants don't want him. I'm sure. Well, the Giants need, because they got a quarterback that's won a couple of Super Bowls. You can tell me that he's going to come in and turn that whole thing around. His not lack of personality, let's say, but let's say lack of ego, the swashbuckleness that they need right now is what the Giants desperately need. And where's he gonna go? Right? You know, Chicago, Minnesota, the Lions, Green Bay, all these teams seem pretty pat, right? You know, maybe Arizona. I'm just talking NFC teams right now, but what, you know, the options for Kurt seem to be more limited than the local media would have you think.
Second question for fake news or not. At 3-4, calm down. There is no need to panic. Fake news or not.
That's a tough one right there. That's a tough one right there, because under normal circumstances, that would be news. Because if you bringing back as the measuring stick, the 2012 season, when the team with a rookie quarterback was 3-6 and the coach was talking about, now we got to see who's ready to play for next year. We're going to be evaluating. And the very next press conference, the quarterback said, hey, wait a minute. we're not giving up. We got a lot of football to play and we're not giving up anything yet. If I heard that coming out of Redskin Park, I'd say that's news. But I'm leaning toward the fake on that. they got to show me the press clippers now. This is fake news right now. This, if we don't start calling the code red, and some emergency stuff here, and like pointing some fingers and shaking it up. And remember, we called for players only leading last week, and that hasn't happened yet. So that was fake news, brother. Fake news.
Well, that's interesting because you talked about getting things together. You talked about pointing some fingers. That leads me to this third and final question on fake news or not. Given the fact that the Skins are 3-4, is it almost time to start ushering? And again, I just went to a Disney cruise where you were ushered to your seat for dinner and things like that. Is it time to usher Coach Gruden to his seat? And it's called the hot seat.
Well, that is news. that's the real deal right there. That's news. That's not fake news, because I haven't seen, as we said earlier, any indication that this thing is going to get better. I mean, as we were on all cylinders at this point last year, I mean, there was a couple of hiccups on the road. You know, we were a game away from the playoffs last year. All it took was beating a team who already had nothing to play for. So I haven't seen any indication that is there. I mean, there's just certain things that bother me about what's happening. And I think that the injury and the weather thing from this last game, I think that the media, and not all the media, we know who we're talking about, the chosen ones are starting to give this guy a pass a little bit too early. They're giving him an out, like saying, oh, we know this is not going to work, but it's not his fault. We got the injuries. We have the weather, right? You know, the planets weren't aligned. You know, Jupiter was in the seventh house of Neptune and all that. I'm a fan. I don't know anything about it, but let this guy get a little bit too comfortable, right? Because there's got to be some type of motivation for him as well. There's got to be some incentive for him, not just to say, "Oh well, better luck next year." It's not me. It's you. He's gonna have to start getting warm. And we're going to have to, like, make it warm, you know. And that's news right there. That should be the headline. Gruden the seat, warm.
Right. So that's it for fake news and that. But I do have a question. I mean, you know, I do think that you said that seat has got to be warm. And at some point, you do got to start looking like, is this the combination? Is this the guy to get it done? You know, but at the same time, you do need some kind of consistency. But, you know, do you believe in the guy? You know, who knows? But we talked about Kirk gambling on himself. Do you think Kirk's winning this gamble?
I just don't see.
And what constitutes winning? I mean, he's going to be highly paid no matter where he goes. But what's winning? Is he winning this gamble on himself?
Well, it's the same thing that goes with Gruden, right? The things that we rightfully criticize as fans and as professionals in the media like we are, the things we rightly criticize, it seems like they're kind of getting a pass on, like the lack of production for the it's funny how these things just roll one right into another. The lack of production from the wide receiver spot. Now, Gruden said in a press conference last week, and a lot of people just roll right over this one, but he said that Kirk sometimes No, I guess his exact words were, you can't wait for things to be perfect all the time. And he was referring to Kirk, right, saying that if a play is designed to have X guy wide open, if X guy isn't wide open, then Kirk won't throw to him. Now, this, and that was obvious in this last game. Now, Josh Doctson had two passes thrown to him, or maybe three, because he caught – Yeah, it was three because he caught a touchdown. There was a bogus pass interference call that allowed the Burgundy and Gold's last touchdown. It was a completely bogus call. And there was a play on the blitz, which was a good read. Kirk underthrew the ball, and Dotson tried to catch it with his arms, and he dropped it.
Right.
But now the public opinion is the guys can't catch. That's why Kirk isn't throwing to him, because they'll drop the ball. But if if I'm in the game, you don't throw to me till the third quarter. How are you going to stay in the game? Crowder was open all the time, but Crowder couldn't be like the number one option on all those passes, right? Crowder or Chris Thompson. I heard guys complaining that the lack of production from the wide receivers is the receiver's fault.
Because they're not
getting open. They're not getting separation. And they're trying to give the quarterback a pass. Like the guy has to be wide open before he throw the ball to him. I think that the gamble is going to pay off because they're not going to be as critical as the quarterback. There are too many built-in excuses right now.
Wow. Yeah, and it's funny to talk about quarterback built-in excuses. Anyone who listens to the show knows that, you know, you were a huge fan and supporter of RG3, thought ran out of town unfairly. I have to agree with a lot of what, you know, you feel and say about that. Did you see any of his tweets from Sunday?
I did not. I heard, and the interesting thing is RG3 is still national news. The man hasn't played football in a year, right? Mm-hmm. But he's still national news, right? Which is puzzling to me, because how many other quarterbacks? I mean, even the guys who are playing don't get as much mentioned as RG3. People, there were segments on. He was actually on a local radio show with a good friend of mine, Grant Paulson, earlier. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to any of that because I'm busy preparing for our show. You know, I love Grant, though. But hey, you know, I'll get to that eventually, right? But there are people in this town that just love to hate him. So give me some examples of what he was saying.
Well, so here's what he says. This must have been before the game. He says, love the city, love the people, love my former teammates, D.C. It's always been love and always will be. But then he says, question from a football expert. Is a coach supposed to tailor his offense to the skill set of his starter or the backup? I mean, which is an interesting question, right? And so he asked for some answers. I won't even get into what a lot of people said. And he says, yes, you get a system that everyone can excel in, carry the guys in your system carry the guys in your system that fit in it. Or I guess they're talking about get guys who fit your system. Like, that's what you should have. It was very interesting because he talked about, you know, offensive schemes, you know, all incorporate kind of the same thing, shot plays, screen plays, movers, zone running game, power game, you know, timing passes. It's not all that different. So tailoring it shouldn't be super easy. Then he started getting into whether or not the coaches believe in the players. He says who the offense is tailored to is not as simple as saying coaches believe you tailor the system to the talent you have. He says if a coach inherits a QB that he did not draft, he still would tailor the offense to that guy's skill set, but there's always an exception. He has to believe in, you know, it didn't talk about that the coach has to believe in the player. He says if a coach inherits a QB but doesn't believe in that guy, what do? You see, coaches have to do what they believe is best for the team. And so it really got interesting there because it was like, you're drafted and they don't believe in you, they're not fitting this for you.
Wait a minute. It seems to me he's defending Jay Gruden.
That's what
it seems to me like he's doing. He's saying if a coach doesn't draft a player, if a coach inherits a player who doesn't fit, what do you do? It's like he's saying that Jay Gruden was in a no-win situation, and he understands it, right? Of course, now people are going to take it like he's dogging Jay Gruden, but to me, he's defending Jay Gruden. And that's exactly what the circumstance was. He had a specific brand of football. Jay Gruden has a specific brand of football, and the two just didn't mesh.
And didn't mesh. But here's where it gets a little tricky, though. He says a little later on, he says, when you believe in a guy, you make excuses for that guy, the wind, the rain, everything. You work through the rough patches with that guy, as opposed to getting rid of that guy and not making excuses for him. See, that's why I think maybe folks think he was throwing a little shade at Gruden.
Oh, well, isn't that pretty much what we were saying that was happening earlier?
Right.
About
and
see, I hadn't read any of this. This is, you know, here's the problem with RG3. He ought to stop talking. And let me tell you why I'm saying this. I love to hear from him personally. But whenever he says something, it gives his opposition ammunition. Now, this is America.
And they're always looking for it.
Right. This is America. Like I said, this man is still national news. They have complete segments. Like, we didn't give him a complete segment. We gave him a half a segment, right?
Right.
But they have complete. It's like they reacted with glee when something bad happens to RG3. Now, I could care less about the man's personal life. If you went through the personal life of every guy on this team, there's so much stuff I've heard from pro football players about pro football players that would make your head swim. But football-wise, and you know what? I got into this discussion. I'm very careful with Twitter because there's a lot of crazies out there. But I got into a discussion with a guy on Twitter at my own personal Twitter account, at Stanfield Kevin, if you want to hit me up. About RG3, and the guy mentioned, said something about he was given every chance and he couldn't perform. And I said, well, I don't want to be revisionist, but remember 2012, the circumstances were the same. They were worse. 3-6, and they pretty much had to win out. Or was it 3-7? They had, I believe it was 3-7. They had to win out to have a shot in the playoffs. And the quarterback said, let's do it. We can do it. You haven't heard that from this quarterback. And go back, and he gave our current quarterback a chance to win a playoff game. 14-point lead, couldn't produce, right?
So, right. Well, see, that gets lost in the fact, too, that when he went out, they, like you said, they were up 14-0, and Cousins couldn't close that game out.
That's right. That's right. You know, and like,
and
said,
sure, you could say, well, he was a rookie. Like, well, the other guy was, too.
So was the other guy. And you know what? It's that they used to call it athletic arrogance, man. You got to believe you can. You can't just think you can if the circumstances are right, if everything falls. You have to believe that you're supposed, you know, you have to believe. You have to believe so much that it spills over into your teammates. And that's what RG3 did. Unfortunately, and I really believe this, he had a bunch of guys in his locker room who were jealous. He was jealous. Now, he came out, he did all the commercials, the TV shows and all that. And these guys were jealous. And it seemed like their memories were short. They forgot what life was like around here before he got here.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's it there, Kevin, for Fake News and Odd Man. That was a fun segment again. America loves the segment.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely. But speaking of fun, we're going to have some real fun coming back because we're going to hear about Claude's special assignment, right? You know, with the mouse, right? Like the mouse has been very, very good to me over the years. And this is a new experience for Captain Claude on the high seas. So I'm anxious to hear about it. And I know you are, too. Just stay right where you are. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. FederalNewsRadio.com is where you can get the archives of this and all of these fabulous shows. You can hit us up on Twitter at FFRep. Have your questions. We invite, if you want to come on, we'll let you come on and speak your mind, you know, because we're about the people. We're a show of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's us, the Federal Football Report. That's right. So the reason Claude is not in studio because he's recovering from his special assignment, not only the trade deadline, but he had another very, very special scouting assignment. So we're going to let Claude tell you about that.
Absolutely. So, late last week, I guess it was Thursday, left the D.C. area for the special assignment. The special assignment was a Disney cruise with my wife and son. He turned 5 on the 30th, which was yesterday. And, yeah, so we took a Disney cruise, went to Orlando, spent the day there because, you know, we didn't want to be in a situation where a plane was going to get delayed. And, you know, you've seen all these news stories about people getting, you know, dragged off planes. We didn't want to be there.
Been there, been there. Not drug off plane, but delayed. We'll tell that story on the next show. We owe you one. Yeah. But, yeah, go with that. That was a perfect move, going a day early. If you have anybody listening going on a cruise, go to where you're leaving from the departure port a day early.
Absolutely. All right. So we're just getting up, catching a quick shuttle to the port, get to Port Canaveral. And we were, first of all, my son was, and my wife and I, too, we were just in awe at how large this Disney cruise ship was. I mean, it was so big. And so we get to Port Canaveral, we check our bags or whatever, they take the bags up to the room, and we get onto the boat. Right then and there, you've got Mickey Mouse standing there taking pictures with people, and so that's all fun. We walk through to get onto the boat, and as you walk in, you've got people greeting you, you know, just a whole lot of crew members, and, you know, they announce your name, welcome to the Jennings family, and they're clapping and cheering and stuff like that, so that was really cool.
Wow.
So we walked around the ship just to kind of see where everything was. Huge ship, we you know, just wanted to see what was going on, and so we did that for about 30 minutes, but we found our way back to the main atrium where people were coming in, and they were announcing families. Kevin, you know my kid, he's super social, you know,
yes,
go up to anybody, just start talking to him,
he owns the room when he comes in.
He does, and so he's somehow, you know, we were sitting down in the atrium. He kind of eases over to where the welcoming crew was. And the next thing you know, he's clapping and cheering with the crew as people are walking in. And so they think this is hilarious and funny. My wife and I are just kind of laughing and shaking our heads because this is what he does. They give him a crew jacket.
Oh, really?
And yes, they give him a crew jacket. And I'm not lying to you. This goes on for 35 minutes. For 35 minutes, he's not on the cruise. He's working at the cruise. And so we took pictures and the video. He's literally standing there with 10 to 15 other Disney crew members and applauding and saying, "Welcome aboard, welcome," as families enter in. So half the families on the cruise were greeted by my son. And and so he did that until they were finished.
Like, ahead,
he literally
man.
Didn't want to do anything else. But there
All
were
right.
other kids. They were at the pool. They were at the water slides. They were getting ice cream. He's working, welcoming people at the Disney. And that's what he wanted to do. So he did that for 35
minutes. Yeah, this is a strong work ethic that comes from his father. I understand,
exactly.
Man. That's right.
Even on vacation, he's working.
That's right.
And so it was really kind of cool because then they asked, you know, his name, what room we were staying in, and we told them. And the next day, they sent a thank you card, you know, just a personalized thank you card for helping out to welcome people. And since you're an official, you know, Disney Cruise employee, here's a badge. They gave him a badge with his name on it. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, we did that. Had a blast. I mean, we took pictures with all the characters, and so one thing was funny. You know, Goofy's kind of Donald Duck. You know, Donald can have kind of a mean streak, right? Like prankster. So Manny took a picture with Donald Duck, and then afterwards, Donald Duck put his hand out to get a 5. And so as he was trying to give him 5, he moved his hand and started laughing. And so my son was just perplexed, like, "Why would Donald trick me? Why would Donald trick me?" So then we come up with this plan the next day that he's going to take another picture with Donald, but this time he was going to trick Donald.
Really?
And so we say, okay, yeah, let's do it. So we go to take a picture with Goofy, but he does the trick on Goofy. He holds his hand out. Goofy goes to give him 5, and then he moves his hand. And we're like, no, why would you be mean to Goofy? It's Donald you're trying to get back. I guess he wanted to practice on him. So then he goes to get Donald, and he tricks him, and Donald's kind of laughing at the trick, and then he's laughing. And then Donald kind of reaches his hand out like, okay, you know, that was funny. So then he fell for it again. And it's like, why would you fall when you got him? Walk away.
Leave when you're on top. Learn that one, man. When you're on top, leave on top. That's
exactly.
So cool.
So that was kind of cool.
Well, yeah, well, let me ask you this. Now, Manny pretty much owned the Disney cruise. I see that. But I have no problem believing that. How about you? This is your first cruise experience, right?
Yes, it was my first cruise experience, my wife's first cruise experience. My wife has motion sickness. Like, if we're driving somewhere in a car together, she'd rather drive because she'll get motion sickness in the car.
Right.
But she did get, you had recommended these patches that she could put on. I saw plenty of patches on the ship. A lot of people were wearing them, but she had these wristbands.
Right.
And I think it's supposed to put one on, but I looked down, she had one on both arms.
But take a chance.
Like, I'm going, right.
But take
so
a
she
chance.
Was good. I loved it. I mean, you told me this. You said you love cruises and that once you went on one-on-one, you just fell in love. I loved it. And, I mean, the final day that we were on there, we literally were like, look, we're going to plan another one. Obviously, if it's with our solo, it'll be another Disney one. It's kid-friendly. But we were thinking about going on one on our own, man. And we had a great time. I absolutely loved it. We stopped at Nassau. We stopped at the Bahamas. The third day, we were going to stop at Cape I can't remember the name of one of the Disney islands.
Mm-hmm.
But it was raining and that tropical storm that kind of went up Florida.
Right.
Sunday, I think it was Sunday, was there. And so they decided to stay out and see where it was safe. And I was happy about that.
Yeah. Well, that's the same storm that came here through the game on Sunday afternoon. Right. That was the same storm.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you, one of the things I appreciated about it was it wasn't like when you left, I didn't even know we were moving, right? Next thing I know, I'm looking and say, hey, where's the ground going, right? You know, everything, every once in a while, it was a little wobble. You got the sense that you were moving, right? But I just felt it was so relaxing and just so mm-hmm. peaceful, right? I mean, there's a lot going on, but you could go to areas of the ship and it was just silence, right? You know, and mm-hmm. It was the sense of them really wanting to take care of you because the cruise industry is so competitive anyway, right? They got a million different cruise lines, and they want to treat you like a king and queen, and it seemed like you appreciated that.
Absolutely. I mean, and Disney, I mean, look, top-notch, A++++. They did such a great job with this. All the crew members from the folks who were, like, kind of trying to keep the deck, you know, dry as far as where the pool was, to the people who served food, to the people who cleaned your room. Everybody was 100 top notch. You didn't mind spending a couple $1,000. You almost forgot how much you paid for.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it was
that's
well
the goal.
Worth it.
Yeah, that's the goal. Right. Forget about all those green you spent, right? But I totally did. Well, what about the food? Tell us about the food, man. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about a cruise. Yeah.
Oh, the food was great. Breakfast was wonderful. All you can eat buffet, and we definitely ate all we could eat.
That's right.
Of course, coffee, water, soda, drinks, all free. If you wanted an adult beverage, you would have to pay for that. But the food was good. Lunch, I mean, all the hot dogs, hamburgers, pizza. I mean, you could literally eat all around the clock if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And even if you wanted ice cream or something late at night, they'll bring it up to your room. I mean, it was really, really just, again, the food was good. I have absolutely no complaints at all about the cruise at all. I mean, it was so good.
Yeah, and for a Disney cruise, and on a lot of cruises, I know Disney will go out of your way to have kids activities where they pretty much say, hey, give us your kid, you go enjoy yourself for a little while, we got this, right?
Absolutely. And they had that. They had kid zones, one for kids, I think 6 and under, and then one for 6 and over. And we took them to the kids zone every day because they had a lot of activities for the kids. And again, it was Halloween on the high seas was the whole theme. So they had a lot of Halloween activities. Now, my wife and I, we're like super helicopter parents. Like we don't really drop him off for a long extended amount of time with anyone other than my mother, my mother-in-law, my sister. And I mean, and that's pretty much it. So the first day we took him to the kids zone, but we kind of stayed there.
Right.
Even though we couldn't go in the room, but we stayed there, kind of talked. Cause it was, we really made up in our minds that cruise was really all about him and his birthday. But the second day we dropped him off and then we wandered off a little bit around the ship and kind of had our own time. And then by the third day, we dropped the ball for like an hour and a half. And we watched the rest, and we watched the game. And
you just gave him the keys. Okay, man, call us when you're ready.
Exactly. And so it was cool, man, and it was so much fun. Like you said, and they have these super strict policies, by the way, of cleanliness, because you're on a boat. You don't want people getting sick. Cause you
right.
It was, and, but also of behavior for the kids. And we were really impressed. Like, they do not tolerate rough play. They don't tolerate bullying. They don't tolerate, and they've got plenty of crew members. They said that they had 1,500 crew members on the ship, and I probably only saw maybe 150, 200 of them.
Wow.
But it takes a lot of people to get the stuff, to get it done. And so, yeah. And so by the time we were there the third day, we felt so comfortable with the amount of staff that were in the kids area. And they had open houses so you can meet them and talk to them and stuff like that. That we were like, okay, cool, he's good. And we also wanted to make sure that he wouldn't be a menace, but that other the other kids would, all the kids would play fair, including him. And so they assured us of that.
All right. Well, good for, man. We're going to have to send Disney a link to the show so they can appreciate your appreciation.
Yeah. So and by appreciate our appreciation, we mean by sending us some free cruise tickets.
Yeah, that's, that right, would be that's great. Right. Yeah, right. You know, because Disney cruises are not just for kids.
Right. Right. No, and that's the thing. There were a lot of adults on the cruise, and the adults only section was packed with parents, but we also saw a lot of people who were there without kids. Yes, they just like Disney. They like the cruise, and they went.
All right. Well, you know where we are. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio at FF Reps. So Disney, yeah, we're talking about you. And now, you think, speaking of cruising, now the Burgundy and Gold going to have to like cruise to the other side of the country this coming weekend. Now, I'm sure they're going to go the overland route, right? They're not going to have the luxury of going like through the Bering Straits and all that, and going through the Panama Canal. We're having to go to Seattle, where we have not had good fortune as of late, against a quarterback who is red hot, and one Mr. Russell Wilson. He provided the country. He and Deshaun Watson provided one of the most entertaining football games I've seen in years.
Oh, goodness. I mean, the back and forth. Number one, Deshaun Watson is playing like great right now as a rookie. And Russell Wilson, to me, probably one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And underrated, by the way, I feel, when he was in college. I mean, he played well at NC State, his fifth year, senior year at Wisconsin. He was, a graduate transfer or whatever. He was played lights out, and he gets drafted. Again, the same draft, you know, RG3, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson was in the back end of that draft. And, I mean, the kid can ball out. I understand he's a shorter guy. But, man, I mean, you know, you're watching Russell Wilson, already a Super Bowl champion, one dumb play call away from the two-time Super Bowl champion. And they put on a show last Sunday. And, you know, you just hope that on defense, and here's the thing that's scary about him, that he can make things happen when the play goes according to schedule, and he can make things happen when the play does not go according to schedule. Yeah. You know, and so you're not going to get him off of his game no matter what you try to do.
Hey, but the thing about it is, we're going to coach this game in such a way that we take away those advantages. And you might ask, how are we going to do that?
That's what I'm wondering.
We're going to maintain ground control. We're going to slow the game down, let the air out of the ball like Dean Smith used to do. We're going to take all 31.2 seconds off the play clock. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball powerfully, consistently, no cute slide to the side, east and west running. We're going north and south, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to have short.
That sounds like a winning game plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're good.
But I have no confidence that the coaching staff and the team is actually going to do this.
No. That's what they're going to do. I mean, you know, that's a subliminal thing. That's what they're going to do. That's the only way they're going to have a chance, man, because they can't certainly try to outscore these guys. They can't go blow for blow with them, right? We're going to have to go with brute force. There's always a chance. There's always a chance now, you know, and I'm just hoping, strongly hoping, that Jay Gruden finds that chance, that one chance, and capitalizes on it.
Well, it's a game that I think the Redskins need. And by the way, a game that I feel Seattle feels as if they need. I mean, right now they're in a tie with the Rams at 5-2 in the West, and they want to win that division. You know, right now, again, they're thinking about playoffs. Most teams are right now, whether it's we're trying to secure a good seed in the playoffs and put some distance between ourselves and the rest of our division and even in the conference, or you know, you're thinking about trying to scratch your way back into the playoff picture. And so they're thinking playoffs as well, but I don't think that this team can afford to go 3-5. And so this, you know, if last week was a must-win situation, this week, again, I think must win. And if not, I think it is time to put panic mode on or the season is lost. I mean, you know, you look at some of the games coming up. Again, you don't want to go 3-5 against Seattle and then have Minnesota, who's been playing fine, despite not having a quarterback, has been playing really well this year. You've got to go to New Orleans, who have seemed to find their mojo.
Then you've got Saints are 4-5-2, I believe.
Exactly.
Where did that come from?
All right, quietly finding their mojo. Then you've got the Giants coming to D.C., even though, look, bad team, but it's Thanksgiving. It's a divisional game. That can go either way. Then you've got the Cowboys, Chargers, Arizona, Denver, and the Giants. It's going to be tough to if you go 3-5. I think it's going to be tough to try to finish 10-6 at that point, or even 9-7. You might be looking at 7-9, and I don't think it's going to be good enough to get into the playoffs.
Hey, well, look, you know, like I said, it's always hope. And you know, here's the part that bothers me though: it rains in Seattle, and they don't seem to mind. All right. Hey, look, right, well, this has exactly. been fun. This has been a whole lot of fun. Now, next week after the Seattle game, you know you're going to get the truth. You're going to get that in-depth analysis. We're going to tell you why they won or why they lost. We're going to tell you right here, because that's what we do. We tell you truth. And we tell you truth on the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Hit us up on Twitter at FFRep. We'll see you next week.